On behalf of the Portfolio Committee on Energy and the absent members, I welcome everyone. As a matter of practice, Team Energy, I'm supposed to be welcoming you and the members. But it's a very interesting way of starting this year. Appointing myself, because I have no choice, because I belong to no other committee. And the other members, I can say it's nice to be an ordinary member in Parliament. You know, sometimes it is dark and dive. Of course, we closed 2013 with a couple of positive losses. These losses are positive, or can be positive. Honorable Maya Tula has gone over to International Relations, and the Honorable Muloto has gone over to Auditor General's Committee. So, in that case, we still have to chase the powers that be to ensure replacement. And as we know, that something that doesn't take place that swift. So we'll be limping with minus two members for some time. But in any case, we closed this last year with a couple of anyhow notes, let me say, having covered quite a number of topics, both through our normal meetings as a committee, through any stakeholder meetings, through public hearings, and also our site visits. We also started this year with a very high note. Last week we had a week-long oversized visit. Went to KZN for 2 days. We looked at solar home system. Very interesting things came out there. You see them in the report and recommendation. From there, we went to the solar energy project in Gibbsville, 70 kilometers southwest of Mangaung. Although you guys said that project had already started generating power, but when we went, they found that it was not the case, but nevertheless, quite a number of positive things came out of it. Learned a lot about solar at a practical level. It's one of, I would say, even if I have gone to other projects, it's probably one of the best case studies on solar energy. They were relatively feasible because it's 25 megawatts. Then on Thursday we had a public hearing from the cash industry. And late on the day we had a roundtable on cogeneration and trigeneration. And on Friday, we had a site visit on solar water heaters in Ivory Park. And very interesting things came out there between Eskom and the councillors, the local council. I wish all members were here so that they could attest to themselves that oversight visits are extremely important. It's one thing for us to sit here and get PowerPoint presentations, which inadvertently leave out a lot of details. They're bound to look at the issue very, very high level. At once, you want to corroborate that on the ground we get very interesting things. Although you get different things, but that's still a thing. And all along, in all our cases, except that we also met beneficiaries over and above meeting service providers. So listen, I'm just saying that we had started on a very high note, very hot days, particularly the first 2 days in KZN, extremely, extremely hot, 32 to 37, yes, and going right into the deep grass in Swinga, where the road is formed by tires of the car by graders and bulldozers. So that gives an idea. So I hope people understand sometimes it's not kosher to the level of parliament, particularly in energy. But we started with that time, and I hope, and that's until the day before national elections, we'll maintain that momentum. With the other members, there's been a pressure of different forms, and because the community secretary will indicate on that. But the thing is, we only discovered all those things this morning, and we already have case down, so we would say, please fly back, because we're not in a position to account for wasteful expenditure. So rather, please take us through the strategy, we'll see how we can compensate for that in the future. There are two members who probably could pop in, depending on the other continent. Sorry to have made a long welcome. Well, it's necessary at the beginning of the year. Especially now, say we're going to have a very, very short first term and a very hectic second term, because that's when we'll be putting together structures, populating them as well for the fifth parliament. But let's still do something, even these last few weeks until the national election. Today we are going to be dealing with the energy efficiency strategy, the national energy efficiency strategy. Obviously we cannot consider any minutes and records, because the forum is needed there. Because they can take us through their policies.
Thank you, sir. Following the policies, for a baby who has urgent the personal matter that we have to look into at home in the formal embassy, then Honorable Tito, who is sick leave, Honorable Smaller, who has constituency commitments, and then Honorable Freyman, who is attending other meetings outside of Parliament. And then Mr. Selau and Mrs. Ferguson. Mr. Selau is in the teaching and training industry with a dealing with legislation, as well as Mrs. Ferguson is attending the Portfolio Committee on Water and Environmental Affairs, where they're also dealing with legislation. But as you indicated earlier today, they both indicated that they will try to attend the meeting. Then I've also received apologies from the Minister and the Deputy Minister Chair, who's attending the Cabinet of Lokotan, and then also an apology from the DG, who's unable to attend the meeting. Those are the apologies, Chair.
Thank you very much. Well, let me hand over to the Department. But one of the pieces I'd like you to share with us is we've been consistently and persistently appealing the Department to come and share with us the revised National Energy Efficiency Strategy. And it has been a long track, and I feel like it covers that this was presented at the ICCA in Cape Town some time ago, even before it came to us. I got a bit of a shock because we had been, I'm sure on record, had been very persistent. The department come and share this with us. So I'm sure they shared with us why it said it, that we overdue penalty.
Thanks, Chair. And good afternoon to all. And belated compliments. And thanks, Chair, for the welcoming address and the meeting of the 2014 short session before the election. Maybe just to touch on the point that you just raised now, I just want to indicate to the members that even what we're going to present today is not a detailed presentation that we would have wanted to give, as the approval of the document has not been finalized, but like it's tabled to go for the clusters and cabinet. So this is a high-level presentation. You will know that even when we like attach on the National Energy Efficiency Action Plan, it's at a high level rather than giving the members the exact implementation plan for the next 2 years or starting from this year, 2015-16, when the strategy came last, because we're still awaiting approval. So the ICC, as well, it was the high level, more of a process rather than the outcome per se. I will be touching on the strategic goals, national energy efficiency objectives, the review process, the implementation progress, touching on standards and regulations, the action plan, and the target monitoring system. Basically, this slide is just giving you the background around what the goals of the strategy are. The strategy is being set as an overall energy intensity reduction target for 12% by 2015, and this target was further disaggregated into sectoral targets for industry and mining, with specific demand reduction of 15%. We have got commercial and public buildings, also reduction of 15%, residential 10%, and transport 9%. Just to take it forward, the implementation plans were drawn up for each of the sectors. We forecast targets of energy use reduction based on assumptions about energy demand over the next 10 years. That was then in 2005, looking forward to 2015, using the baseline for the year 2000. This included the associated drivers, such as economic development and population growth. And as part of the implementing the strategy in 2005, interventions were to be implemented by concentrating on low-cost and low-payback options with a high impact. These were to be followed by medium to long-term higher investment interventions. And since the release of this strategy, several legislative frameworks had to be developed and put in place to support the implementation of the strategy. And sure, you recall that, like this, like most of you, you could be familiar with. We have been presenting with the context that when members interrogate the strategy, are also mindful of the fact that at the time when the strategy was released, not all the necessary implementation tools were in place. And we would want members to take note of that, to look at the way that has been the progress that has been achieved since 2005 to today. Hence, we always go back and say, at the time when we released, not all the tools that should be there to support the implementation were in place. And on the objectives, let me start by the vision. The vision of the strategy to reduce the energy intensity of the economy through energy efficiency. And to achieve this vision, the following national objectives were committed to: enhancing energy security by making better use of existing and new generation capacity, improving South Africa's global competitiveness through reduced energy input costs, decoupling growth in energy consumption from growth in GDP, and also improving global competitiveness, which in turn will contribute to job creation. So that was just to give a background, a high-level background in terms of where we're coming from. And now I'll be focusing on the review process, where we started and where we are now. The first review of the strategy was done in 2008, honestly, a revised document was then issued for public comments. However, the comments were received were not favorable. And that process required a more radical alteration, including clear definition of what energy efficiency is, because it was very clear that we had different definitions or interpretation when it comes to energy efficiency in the country. The monitoring system was not there. Those were the other things that the department or the country had to look at in terms of making sure that the targets that we have set for ourselves, we're able to say, are we on track, are we achieving, or are we derailed from the things that would lead us to the process of achieving our vision. The baseline information was one of the areas that we have to deal with, and that considers the fact that companies are at different level of achievement for the target. Let me just give an example. Like, for example, if you look at the 15% for industrial and mining, one of the key areas that was raised during the deliberations was it's very difficult to look at the 15%, whereas the processes in terms of production are not the same if you compare the mining sector as well as the industry. So those are some of the key areas that we had to look at. That's one of the examples. And I hope you would agree that, like, for example, for the fact that the definition of energy efficiency was not at the same level, or we were not moving from the common understanding, we had to do a state of work in terms of defining what in the context of our country energy efficiency would be. Parallel to the development of the strategy in 2005, an energy efficiency target monitoring methodology handbook was also developed to try and capture some of the areas of concern and also guiding the process forward. This energy efficiency monitoring methodology handbook provided a detailed input data stream which was required. However, its review was necessary to ensure that the South African energy efficiency monitoring system takes full advantage of the current development and international best practices. Then we had to go back to the drawing table. In 2011, the second review, or the second phase of taking forward what the recommendations or the comments that were received in 2008 continued or intensified in 2011, with public and private sector workshops to discuss the scope and elements of the strategy that needed review. And in addition to that, focused engagements or discussions were also held on the development of regulations, because the strategy was not implemented in isolation of other pieces of legislation, like frameworks, or there had to be alignment of the process of reviewing the strategy, as well as taking into consideration work that is in progress, which would support the implementation of the strategy. Like, for example, income tax allowance on energy efficiency, there were several standards that were also being developed at that time. You would recall there was a session last year that we had all, like, the key stakeholders within the energy sector were here. For example, the South African Bureau of Standards presented a whole lot of standards that, since the strategy was released, were put in place. This is just an example in terms of looking at the 5010 and 2001. It's not exclusive. So this was just to touch on the standards that were released in the time when we were dealing with the second review process. the department also continued to engage robustly with other government departments like National Treasury. Let me just give an example why we had to go for that robust engagement. All of you, you would recall or you are aware that there is a discussion around the carbon reduction policy document. And that policy, document, it realizes the strategy or the energy efficiency as one of the things that would allow the country to reduce the carbon emissions. We also had to have robust discussions with the Department of Environmental Affairs, taking into consideration the work that was done at that time on the National Climate Change Response Policy White Paper. We also had to have direct engagements with the Department of Trade and Industry, in particular looking at the point I with respect to the Income Tax Act and other pieces of legislation, including the work that is done through the South African Bureau of Standards and the Industrial Policy Action Plan. With the Department of Minerals and Minerals Resources, also we had to do that in light of the sector target of 50% for mining and making sure that there is policy alignment when the strategy is finalized. So those are some of the direct engagements that we had to deal with in consideration of the work that was in place or in progress at that time. And we also had to drive the process taking into account the roles of other state-owned entities in terms of their responsibilities with respect to the implementation of specific areas of the strategy, like the sanity. Then the draft review document was produced subsequently to these engagements and was presented to the cluster in October 2012 and later approved by Cabinet for public consultation. And since then, it was published in November 2010, but the closing of comments was supposed to have been in January, but we took into account the time that we all go to take some time off in December, which were his stakeholders, not all of them were able to look at the document. It was extended to February 2013, so that we are able to accommodate all the key comments of the we took into account the importance of affording all those who are within the value chain in contributing towards the improvement of the current strategy. Then on this slide, during this period, more than 30 comments were received, and the comments were grouped into the following things. One, the use of the 2000-year baseline as the year that the data would be defined around. Some of the comments were grouped on whether the strategy targets are aspirational or mandatory. Also, the need for an organizational structure, the definition of energy efficiency, which had been one of among the comments that were even raised in 2008 as it relates to the mining sector. I gave an example of why there were concerns with respect to grouping the mining as well as the industrial as one of the comments. The use of green procurement, energy services company, development and support, the alignment with the national development plan, the inclusion of energy efficiency indicators, the monitoring and verification of energy savings, and the funding and mechanism of energy efficiency measures. So these, the things guided what the thinking is of members or the key stakeholders in terms of what the review should look at or address at this point in time. Three workshops were also held to discuss comments that were received from with the private and public sector representatives during the month of March. All comments were analyzed and responses provided, and this resulted in an adjusted strategy document. And I just want to indicate that when we look at the time when we received comments, on some of the comments, we were taken back again for, I mean, to the drawing board in terms of doing a little bit of research in terms of international best practices, so that we inform or we address the comments accordingly based on the analysis we had to research them. And in, just to touch on, although the 2011 review was completed, the target were not revised because the current cycle of the strategy is ending in 2015. And we have been seen as more like shifting the goalposts before we can even report as to whether how far South Africa has fared or progress achieved in terms of the targets that were set. Hence, the targets were left as they were, or as they are, even as I speak. But like, in terms of implementation too, a lot has been done, and a lot is being done even at the moment in terms of looking towards confirming as to whether have we achieved the targets, and in the areas where we haven't achieved, what were the challenges, why we couldn't achieve them, and what has been planned in terms of addressing the gaps that have been there. And in the line of opportunities, how do we strengthen that and even do more? The focus was more of lessons learned, as I said, the gaps and how they were and how are they being currently addressed. You would know that when I talk about the Energy Efficiency Action Plan, that's what I was indicating to the chair, that we still are waiting approval of the whole process so that we can come and share a commitment in terms of what will happen in terms of the gaps, so that post-2015 we're able to say generally or in essence 80% or 90%, to what percent have we achieved the implementation of the strategy, and on the gap, what are the things that, or the actions that would be taken in the time that has left before the strategy lapse, with clear time frames indicating those deliverables. The review process of the strategy has been finalized, and the final strategy document is currently en route for taking an approval. We hope it should be presented in a week or week after next to the DG classes and heading to cabinet for consideration. And on the standards, I just gave a background in terms of the standards that were released at the time when we started. I only just took a few. Like, for example, focusing in a new building, we have energy management and measurement verifications of energy saving standards, 10400XA. We had 50001 and 50010 respectively were developed by the SAPS through the ETI in 2011. And basically on the 50010, the use is for the local industry looking at four ways, namely enable industries to accurately quantify the true benefits as a result of energy savings measures, to also provide consistent feedback regarding typical performance of various energy savings opportunities available to industries, and let companies improve their monitoring against targets, and allow companies to claim any tax benefits available to them from energy saving programs. And also looked at minimum energy performance specifications of household electricity appliances that are being developed even currently. And some of you may be aware that in December we were launching the regulation for allowance on energy efficiency savings in terms of the Income Tax Act. I will touch a little bit in one of the slides as I proceed. And in 2011, you would be aware that there were regulations on mandatory reporting, 2012 March, that were released. And this assisted us a lot in terms of addressing the challenge when it comes to data collection that informs our reporting with respect to the target. On the Sign that for energy management, sign 5001. The standard will assist in the continual improvement framework to incorporate energy management into everyday organizational practices. In the context of energy management, companies will plan, implement energy management action plans, and also check in terms of how they are doing, monitor and measure processes, and the key characteristics of operations that determine energy performance. And if you look at what the regulations for energy savings are trying to say, they would be compelled to implement even the energy management standards, in the sense that you wouldn't be able to claim any tax rebate if you are not able to demonstrate the savings. And these are the regulations that were launched on the 4th of December. Those who were part of the launch of the Energy Efficiency Private Sector Program that is led by the National Business Initiative are aware of this. And basically, the regulations are with effect as of the 1st of November 2018. And this is devised to encourage energy efficient utilization of energy. The regulation will be implemented through the South African National Energy Development Institute, and ultimately the companies would claim their tax rebates through the SAR process when they submit their tax return. And basically what he's saying is the regulators are saying a person generating energy from renewable energy sources may not receive the allowance. The reason being that would create a space for WDP. You are aware of the Renewable Energy Independent Power Producers Program, which has its own benefits. So if a person would be claiming from both sides, that would cripple the system in terms of the WDP, as I said. And also it says a person generating energy through a captive power plant may not receive the allowance unless the energy output for that captive power plant in respect of the year of assessment is more than 35% of the kilowatt hours of energy input with respect of that year of assessment. And I should highlight to the members that if you go to the Department of Energy website, we have released the date of national workshop so that we take companies through the understanding of the regulations and what is expected before you could play. So for those who would want to be part of the workshop, if you log into the website, you will see when would it be happening. But in all the provinces, we will visit on together with National Treasury, Sanity, SARS, GCI, all those who are the key role players on the implementation of the regulations would be part of the workshop. And with respect to procedure of claiming tax allowance, a person that claims the allowance must, in respect of each year of assessment for which the allowance is gained, register with SANEDI in the form and manner and the place determined by SANEDI, appoint a measurement and verification professional to compile a report containing a computation of the energy efficiency savings in respect of the person for that year of assessment, and ultimately submit the report to SANEDI and obtain a certificate. So basically, this outlines how the process should be done, and in essence, it compels the companies to do what the standard requires. And on the energy efficiency action plan, that's what I said. We have looked at the gaps. We have put together an action plan in terms of if we were to say the strategy was implemented as it should have been, and we have achieved 100% of its rating, what are the things that we should have done? And we looked at the gap. We said this gap could be achieved if we were to do 1, 2, 3. This would be the deliverables but all the gaps have been captured in the letter that by before the end of the last period, we should have closed them. So that's the part that we are waiting approval for, and we should come back here in terms of indicating what are the gaps that we've realized, what are the things that need to happen coming into the next financial year up to 2015 when the strategy time frame comes to an end. The action plan is also aiming at assisting and providing guidance to all stakeholders on the actions required, either through voluntary and mandatory nature, to enable the achievement of the energy efficiency objectives. As I said in the beginning, that we should always be mindful that of the fact that at the time when the strategy was released, not all, maybe I would be even on spot if I would say, not even more than 10% of the necessary tools were there. And all these years, while you implementing the process of developing legislative supporting tools was in progress, whether you look at it from the exercise, the regulations, including the standards as well as the strategies and plans. And it would be important as well to note that the plan was designed taking into account international best practices to guide the implementation of the identified activities. I would want to believe that a learning organization or country normally reflects on the status of things and say, for us to improve in doing things or to correct the way we used to do things, these are the things that we need to look at and contextualize them into how it would be best for us to move forward. So we looked at different international best practices, including what the International Energy Agency calls the 25 policy recommendations, looking at all the sectors in terms of what should a country have if you were to get it, you were to get right in terms of implementing energy efficiency measures. So the action plan is looking at those things and saying, for us to go forward, these are the things that we'll do in specific time frames to close those gaps that are there. And then for the trends or opportunities that are there, this is how we will intensify or expand or, in terms of even be much better than before. And it is imperative to note that energy efficiency action plans are being adopted internationally to simulate the translation of energy saving objectives into concrete, measurable action. And you would agree with me, as like I indicated, that as we were reviewing, we had to look deeper into the legislations or the tools that are already in progress. Like, for example, if you were to talk about the energy savings, it's not only about the monetary aspect of the deliverable. You also say, from the carbon footprint perspective, how have we, what has been achieved? So you need to translate it into, like, the carbon footprint-wise, the achievements. If you look at the monetary aspect of it, how has it, socially in terms of job creation, like you look at the value chain, what were the positives as well as the negatives. And let me turn on the purpose and the objectives, which I have already done so. The action plan is providing the detailed guidance about the actions being taken by government over the short term as it implements the country's long-term needs and mission, for example, assisting in prioritizing future activities and policies to achieve energy efficiency improvements set out in the National Energy Efficiency Strategy, and also understand current energy efficiency-related activities, policies and challenges, and report on the progress made. I hope that you are aware, during the budget vote speech last year, one of the acknowledgements that were put forth was that although we acknowledge that energy efficiency programs have been put in place, we also acknowledge that the country has not performed as it should have been. It should have performed. So we still need to do a lot in terms of making sure that we are at the level where we would say we are among the average performers or the top performers when it comes to energy efficiency. A lot of work needs to happen. The Developed Action Plan is a key document designed to support energy efficiency strategy, which remains the overall energy efficiency guiding document. The plan reflects on changes in enabling policies and programs and also describes interventions that will be implemented with all relevant stakeholders to ensure that an enabling environment is being created for accelerating deployment of energy efficiency in the country. So the plan is not only focusing on the side of government, it focuses on the whole value chain, on who should be doing what for us to get to the point where we would want to be. The action plan also facilitates a robust performance monitoring in respect to the target contained in the strategy. The risk at the moment would be as it started that we never had energy efficiency action plan, and the first phase is looking at the 3-year plan, and every effort has been made to accurately reflect the level at which such actions and measures will take place. This is though you haven't seen it, we hope that when you come here to report again, you will see that it's a realistic plan taking into account the resources limitation that government is confronted with. We didn't want to be biased in terms of, like, for example, where we're talking about the gaps. We tried to be biased. We were doing a more of an introspection in terms of putting it as is and trying to put forward the recommendations that are required for all of us to implement the strategy forward. One of the ultimate objectives of the action plan is to determine adjusted sector or sub-sector baselines from those developed in the year 2000, and this is in preparation for the post-2015. The action plan also is guiding us in terms of come 2015, when the time frame for the strategy lapse, what next? It's already paving a way forward into the things that need to happen. Should it be that we have not been able to achieve the targets as they are set in the current strategy, what would be the way forward? We need to work towards that. Other key variables on the action plan for the next 18 months is the development and implementation of energy efficiency monitoring system, energy management systems, measurement and verification of the energy savings, functional energy efficiency incentive scheme. So these are part of some of the work that still need to happen. But I would be comfortable to report to the members that most of the work has already started, though we're still in the initial phase. On energy efficiency monitoring system, the project started in 2011. And it's been implemented with South African Local Government Association as well as SANEDI. The monitoring system took into account the relevance and importance of other key stakeholders like municipalities, because as it stands, municipalities as also distributors of electricity and also in charge of services in the residential sector, they are one of the key stakeholders who are playing a key role in getting us to the point where we should be. The project management is through a project steering committee with respect to several departments that are participating. And the overall objective of the monitoring system is to institutionalize energy efficiency monitoring systems and develop energy efficiency management systems within government structures. Track the developing state of energy efficiency in South Africa using updated energy efficiency indicators. As we were looking at the best practices, one of the things that we're realizing is for us to say we are on the right track, we need to benchmark ourselves with the rest of those who are within our grade of developing countries. So you wouldn't be able to do that if you don't have a monitoring system. We need to make sure that we put in place the system where in the case where we are benchmarking ourselves, we're comparing apples with apples. The system also would assist us to track the developing state of energy efficiency in the country, updating energy efficiency indicators. We also identify drivers for and responses to energy efficiency changes. Monitor progress towards the target, as I touched on it. Inform future energy efficiency policies, financing, regulations, and plans. And goal for the system is to establish a functional context-appropriate system for the purpose of routine monitoring, because that should be now a routine going forward in terms of checking how we're doing. And the key features with respect to the system is the relevance of the system, keeping it simple, using simple tools, a clear resource strategy, and identifying long-term sustainable routine data collection system. One of the gaps when the strategy was released, we didn't have the regulations or the within our law where companies are compelled to give us data. And these regulations were released in 2011. If you don't have data, it's very difficult to even project where you need to be. Because when you talk about the numbers, you need to justify how you got there. And with respect to keeping it simple, the system should be in such a way that all the stakeholders, including members of the public, are able to interpret and get the context of the status as is. So that's basically what the system is all about. This would be enshrined even within the municipal systems where they're able to monitor their day-to-day operations with respect to energy efficiency. All of us, we should be in a position to understand the ins and outs of energy efficiency in this regard. So basically, that's what we say on the key features. And what is it that the system will be providing us in terms of monitoring? A clear indication of progress be made towards achieving the target, provide a reporting system within the DOE that will enable monitoring progress of the achievement of targets, provide a basis for developing policies and strategies through an understanding of the energy efficiency trends and behaviors. The methodology in terms of how we got to the introduction or the establishment of this system, we looked at the top-down as opposed to the bottom-up using the decomposition approach. Analysis of changes in total energy consumption, we also looked at identifying the effect structure, activity and efficiency. And with respect to the sector, we kept it within the strategy as the data, or we cover the industrial sector, commercial, public, residential and transport. And progress to date with respect to this system, we, after it was developed, we had to run a pilot project so that we test its practical nature when it comes to the implementation part of it. A pilot project was conducted between January and April 2013 to test mainly the data collection methodology and the system, and this was successfully done. Small samples were used in all sectors and were not statistically representative of all sectors. This means we were not able to draw conclusions based on representation. The results of the pilot resulted in refining data collection methodologies in preparation of the scale-up of implementing the system. And the implementation has been scaled up, and it claims that the first monitoring report indicating the energy trends should be produced. We are just in the advanced stage of issuing or finalizing the report on this monitoring system, and the target date for completion is April 2014. And just now, in the last quarter of 2013-14 financial year, we managed to secure $23 million of donor funds allocated to intensify the energy efficiency in public building program. You would recall that in terms of the public building program, not much had been done as compared to the other sectors. So this would assist us even to build a firm business case with the monitoring system. So the $23 million is more of the scaling up and affirming the business case. As you would know, that the indicator that the pilot phase could not lead us to the process or the conclusion on the basis that it was a small sample, and like now when we are scaling up, the business case would be firmed up through this $23 million allocation. And in conclusion, we are concluding that the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee notes the review of the National Energy Efficiency Strategy, also indicate or as indicated that we will still come back once the documents have been approved, as they are in the process of cabinet consideration, not at tables, but like we should be presenting in the last us as the way to submit through cabinet. To also note the development of regulations in the section 12L in terms of the Income Tax Act, which were launched or promulgated as of the 1st of November 2013. And also note the development of the National Energy Efficiency Action Plan, which, as I said, we will have to come back with clear indication in terms of what is in the plan once approval is granted, which should not take long as the dates are already confirmed in terms of the cluster, the 3G clusters and cabinet dates. And also the development of energy efficiency target monitoring systems to track the energy efficiency improvements since 2005. And that would be the high level presentation that we brought to the PPC today. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Ms. Mazzucca. Let me welcome the Director of Homes. I know. Okay. Yes, we know trade and industry. It is still one of the most hectic communities. Yeah. We just had a presentation on the energy efficiency strategy. In fact, I'd also asked the committee secretary to indicate when was the last presentation so that we can see what has been the difference from this presentation to the other presentation. While you're catching your breath, if I can just throw in a few questions. With regard to slide 3, the disaggregation is very helpful, but the disaggregation looks at the targets that need to be achieved. What I would have there is that in any case, what percentage of the total power in South Africa does industry mining take? The same with commercial and public business, same with residential and transport. I understand here you're looking at a target now. So it's just interesting to see what amount do we have to share in any case from the existing power supply.
With regards to the last bullet point there, reference is made to that the 2005 National Energy Efficiency Strategy was released with a lot of gaps, if I can call. Gaps in the sense that there wasn't a whole host of energy tools. That's rather unfortunate. I suppose maybe on the basis that we released this on the proviso that these enabling tools will be developed along the way. But it doesn't seem so. Some have been. The current state made several legislative frameworks. You don't even say legislation. That's of some interest for me. Are you then referring to some of the issues that you have raised, the ISOs, 5001 and whatever else? If you could just crisply articulate once again what were those several legislative frameworks. And I think just as a follow up on this, of course, obviously, even though we'll take over from us, we keep on saying next parliament, you can only say with Metislav, inshallah, will be around. It's not if you and the rest of the people here who will decide whether we come back or not through your eggs in the ballot box. Fair enough, Metislav. But okay. I think what one is saying there is that it would be helpful to collate the several legislative frameworks and the enabling tools that we are referring to. They may be present throughout the presentation, but also if you could just get someone to just list them for us and just throw that back to us, because we need to be clear where we're coming from and where we're going to. The issue of energy efficiency, as you know, is getting more and more attention from us, and hopefully in future as well. With regards to number five, slide five, I was going to ask how long does it take to combine and collect this baseline information, but I'll link it with another question, because for me, just to say, am I correct to say that the first set of baseline information is the one that was generated in year 2000? Because also it's important to just have a sense of when you say baseline information, when was it developed, how was it developed, and the extent to which the other stakeholders were agreeable to that. Because at the end of the day, whether it's mandatory monitoring and reporting, but on the other hand, I can argue that energy efficiency thrives where the various stakeholders themselves in their own volition are committed to such practices. There is a limit that every state can compel people to any of the sectors, whether it's legislation or executive or even the judiciary for that matter. The review process. Now, in page 8, that's a helpful collection of themes. Very helpful. And I'm sure that will be used as a way of monitoring how the ultimate product will look like. You seem to be, on the other hand, in terms of number 7, Romans 7, having looked at the alignment of the national development plan only. And the question I ask, what about the other tools? Or are you saying that the NCP is adequate to cater for other tools as well? The NCPs, some could be in the social transformation sector for that matter, not necessarily within the economic sector. Yes, you did get various comments and you grouped them into themes. But what one is keen to know is whether there is anything from the comments that was pointing to policy, legislation, I suppose things, areas like number 9, looking at regulatory issues, something clearly regulatory. I hope I'm correct. But then I'm just keen because as practice, when engaged with stakeholders, if one stakeholders will always say to the government, will you please consider refining this policy? Will you please consider refining this legislation? Will you please consider refining these regulations? Unless they think that they were contained in various things, but that's of great interest to us. Slide 9. Targets are not revised because the current cycle of structure is ending 2015. Now the question is when you're going to revise it. In fact, this links to another question which I might as well just ask it now, because you think the action plan is a clear action plan, and what about the strategy? It kicks off in 2015, is it going to be another 10-year strategy as well, again? Because one year revising was a 10-year strategy from 2005, that's where the question comes. And it links with an interest on this target, because one then assumes that the final NEES or National Energy Efficiency Strategy will have new targets. This is 2014 now. We've got to start having the strategy in place for 2015. Just out of curiosity, the still in slide 9, the last bullet point, the last sentence, in fact, you see, review structure will be presented to the next government infrastructure development cluster. Is that the only cluster, or that's just a prominent cluster, and others will be exposed as well? Come to slide 12. I didn't pick up clearly as to what role did the National Energy Efficiency Leadership Network play in section 12L. It obviously is a very interesting section, given that it has an impact, it is an attractive tool, because it's a tax incentive. We obviously applaud the fact that you have scheduled of our workshops, and we hope you will one way or another that has to be monitored. Just a comment. We have to ensure that you are aware where and how you work. And the other sensitivity in that area is SMEs. It may not be the intensive end user, but also on their own, by being efficient, they reduce the input cost and therefore become efficient and have a bright future to even be exporters. Because amongst other competitive tools that other countries use is to be energy efficient. So SME are part of the global village. That we understand that you will very strongly show that the intensive energy users do become part of this resource. In fact, in any rate, they will look forward to be part of them. But I just argue very strongly that there are other beneficiaries as well. You know, they may be a little bit numerous. What we'd like to hear is how creative are you going to be to ensure that you maximize your outreach. I don't say you'll reach out everyone, but you maximize your outreach. Maybe the other thing is that are you only looking at workshops as part of your awareness campaign? Because practically you never reach out to everyone. That's looking at the picture. But also the other question is that that's only one sector. What are you saying about other sectors? Here at home, within this within government, you know, I understand you made mention of SALDA, which is caters on municipality, that's provincial government. They too are intensive energy users, one or another. I'm in page 15 now, or slide 15, sorry. You made reference to the character and the nature of the action plan, which is short term in the context of the government implementing the country's long term needs. I suppose in that respect. No. I'll rephrase the question. Unless I'm a little bit forward, but in slide 18, that's where you make reference to implementing together with ALC. The interest there is how are you working with ALC? Because that's one area as well. That's one institution that could help a lot to strengthen the work done by the department, because every intensive energy that is located within a municipality. You could ask on the other hand, what roles are they playing, either supplementing or complementing your work? And also, I don't want us to look into the economic aspect only, in any area for that matter. Now, the MOT is in slide 19, using very big English there. If you could just unpack functional context appropriate. Otherwise, I will leave this page 7. Little or no idea. The same with decomposition approach. I know decomposition biologically, or scientifically. So, as a method of monitoring, you made mention of analyzing changes in total energy consumption. Can you just rehearse that and just take us through a little bit on it? I must comment that whoever gave us the donor funds on 22 million was helpful, because we've once said it before that government must lead and be champions and be exemplary on energy efficiency. And when Public Works came to this committee to share with us their energy efficiency program, we were not that excited. In fact, we were less than satisfied. So hopefully this will go some way to strengthen that. Actually, the expectation is that within the various departments at whatever level, local, provincial, and national, there will be a way of ensuring a strong commitment to energy or to practices of energy efficiency. For now, let me stop there. Or maybe, if you could, just two interesting areas. One, the preparedness of the department in this, because we could be the champion. Just take us through a little bit. To convince me, because I see this, as you can see, we've been persistently breathing on the department's neck to know how far are you with the energy strategy, when is it getting final. But honestly, we thought you'd be bringing a finalized strategy today, but the reality is that you haven't yet finalized. Fine, that's the reality. Can't change that. And that links with an institutional arrangement. Who does what? Because nowhere in this document do you show how you address the recommendation, because as a committee, even if the other members are not around, we see, you know, energy efficiency becomes unparalleled and done in other areas as well. Or does that mean you just supposed to look into one area only? And it links to the head area for that matter. My argument is that the energy efficiency, you can have monitoring systems, you can have reporting, data reporting, analysis and things, but there is, to a great extent, you know, the soft part, let's call them soft, the campaign angle, where you mobilize this week, whether it's your CEOs, your middle management, your ordinary member, whether it's the resident, whether it's the train driver or ship captain, how is that factored in the strategy? Or if not, how does the department propose that it gets addressed? I can argue that we can have all the tools set up and done, but you still need me to persuade and convince someone of the life. A lot of persuasion, a lot of convincing, and that's the angle one very keen and interested to see how is it going to be, you know, handled. I don't think department, you do it, or in referring to that. Whoever may be doing it, but please share with us. Yes. Okay. You can. The floor is yours, Mr.
Yeah, I have not heard the presentation, but I have read quickly what is happening here. A couple of questions come to mind, but one question that comes to me is, where are we? And I'm moving from the premise that we are at the end of the term, 2009 to 2014. About the next 3 months, 2 to 3 months from now, will be then election. This strategy, is it a product of legislation or is it a strategy that is being developed to ultimately influence the need for a legislation? That is the question that comes my way. And why is this process of this strategy taking so long? If you start reading this thing, it started in 2005. We are now in 2014, and this strategy is still talking about continuing to be developed into 2015. What is happening? Where are we going? Are we going to continue to do the kind of strategy that is just one document after the other, just like that? Or are we intending to have this thing creating an impact on the people's lives out there? Because we are here as Parliament, as the House of Representatives of the public. And whatever we do here must be seen or be read in line with its impact on the public itself. If we are here to talk about issues of documents flowing from one level to the other, then we are wasting time. We have missed the boat. We have missed the purpose of our mandate. We must be here to be seen to improving what we hold in the form of legislation, to become a better legislation that can serve the democratic side of Nelson Mandela. That is what we are here for. And if that is not what we are doing, I'm sorry, Chairperson, I am in the wrong place. We are at a period now, Chairperson, where we are supposed to be asking the department, between 2009 and now, what is it that we can say to the people of South Africa? Was the case in respect of energy, not only electricity, but energy as a whole, when we came in 1994 here into the Democratic South Africa, and today? What is it that we can say to the people have changed? What legislative mechanisms have we been able to put in place to create permanent change in the lives of the people of this country? We are at that stage at the moment. I'm part of another committee, the trade and industry. And as we stand now, people are busy working on a process of all the legislation that we have passed since 2009 to date. And what impact does those legislations have made to the public? People are doing that. We are making that assessment at this stage to see what is it that when we leave, we will be closing this parliament very soon. What are we going to say to the people we've been doing here? And I want to pose the same question to the Department of Energy, that as a member of this portfolio committee, I need to know that when I go out there and I am deployed by the party to say, go and address the people there and tell them what you have been doing in Parliament, if you want to go back to Parliament, what am I going to say? What am I going to say I've been doing here since 2009? It is very important. It sounds more like a joke. You can laugh at it. But I can say to you, that is what people want to know. And that is what we are here for. I am not interested in the kind of piece of paper that tells me that this was written, this was sent to cabinet, this happened this way, and now another review of this strategy will be done. I'm interested in what this energy efficiency has done to the rest of our people on the ground. Is there evidence in the lives of our people that we can say, because of this strategy that we have adopted, we have been able to improve your life in this manner? Thank you, Chair.
Over to this department.
Okay, thanks, Chair. And thanks for this love. I will respond to you.
I'm sorry if I look rude. That is not the intention. I'm just trying to go straight to the main.
Not at all. I think you were very clear in what you were trying to, like the message got across very well, so it wasn't rude at all. The first question from the chair was, what amount of power does this sector take? When I presented, I indicated that we are just finalizing the report with respect to the energy efficiency monitoring system, where we looked at the sector, and the report will be issued in April 2014. And that will be giving you an indication of where we're coming from. And I just want to indicate to the chair and members here that, like, for example, you would note that there is a lot of work that has been done. One example, we have got the industry through National Business Initiative releasing what we call carbon disclosure reports. And a lot of data has been collected and confirmed in terms of energy efficiency savings. I wouldn't want to PM that we would be bringing to the members in terms of like what the indication is. I did allude to the point that there was a pilot, and I think I should also highlight to members that the work that has been done with respect to the energy efficiency monitoring system, the credit wouldn't go to the Department of Energy only. It's a joint effort between private and public sector, and by private sector, I'm looking at both the National Business Initiative, BISA members who are party to the process, and some of valuable inputs in terms of looking at our own context with respect to energy efficiency. The input came from those members. And it's good to listen to the kind of information that you would have wanted to see. And maybe we looked at the agenda. We thought the approach in terms of taking the presentation is what we cover in the things, but like we have taken note of some of the things that are not included in the presentation as it stands. The next presentation will come very detailed, because one of the things that I would want to touch on with respect to what Honorable Lau has just indicated, we have not touched on programs that have been rolled out. We have not even touched on that, for example. We didn't say anything about solar water heating when it comes to the ground area, the work that has been done. We haven't touched on the rollout of CFL. We haven't touched on the energy efficiency demand side management program that we're rolling with municipalities. That is a division of revenue program that were, like, in the last or the current financial year, 30 municipalities have been participating. In this presentation, we did not focus on those programs that indeed, when members or the public would be asking, what have you been doing in Parliament, you would be able to say, to link the strategy as is to the programs that have been rolled out. So the presentation has not focused on those programs, but we have taken note of it, and then in the next report where we will be bringing the details in terms of what has been committed, looking backwards in terms of the things that have been done and those that are still yet to happen, we will link the two. And if we were very economic when it comes to giving you information, we apologize for that, but we have taken note of it. We will bring that information to you. It's true. The role that you are playing, you need to justify the mandate in terms of what you were expected to do and say, yes, indeed, this is what you wanted me to do, and I did it. And where maybe you would have not achieved as the public would have wanted, you would be in a position to justify that. And the second question from the chair, a reference is made that not all legislative frameworks were in place. Let me just give an example. I would like focus it on the examples. The chair has requested us to provide the committee with a list of all the legislation at the later date. One example, with respect to the regulations that have been passed in December, the regulations are developed by the Minister of Finance in consultation with the Minister of Energy and Trade and Industry. If you were to look at the Act is for 1962. That law has been there since 1962, but it's only now that we are passing the regulations to implement that particular part of the tax income tax act. So I'm just giving an example in this regard. If you were to look at, like one of the things that I said when I presented, I said energy efficiency cannot be looked at in isolation of the other commitments in the country. If you were to look at our carbon footprint and say, what have we achieved? The National Climate Change Response Policy was passed in 2011. And like the alignment that I spoke about when I said, in addition to public consultation, we needed to have direct engagement with other government departments. This is what I'm alluding to. So those are two examples that I could give. In terms of making sure that companies implement energy efficiency measures, they would have not done that if we don't have the standards. We have got a basket of standards that have been developed by the South African Bureau of Standards. So in the next presentation, we will try and consolidate all this as deliverables in terms of when was each standard published, when was each legislation passed, linking it not necessarily to the 2009, but even going backwards, noting that the strategy was released in 2005. So we're committing that we will pass that information to the committee and also come and elaborate on it. And with respect to the baseline information, the chair touched on the 2000 baseline. One of the issues that was more of a point of contention was, if we were to start collecting data, which year should we be looking at? One of the things that was raised or has been raised was the lack of uniformity when it comes to the systems within the sector. I even gave an example that one of the key issues that was raised with us was when the target was set in terms of the 15%, particularly for the mining and industry. How did we get to say 15% when, like for example, when you look at the production lines between the mining and the industrial sector, those are not the same. Like if you were to look at, the mining side, you look at beneficiation, and then the industrial side, maybe you look at chemical processing. So the processes are not the same in terms of energy consumption, a whole lot of input data. So those are the things that we are addressing. And like to get to the, starting from the year of the data that would be collected, it was agreed that from 2000 data baseline, that's when we would start looking at as a point of reference. Then there was a question or a comment in terms of various stakeholders. Like the chair made a very good point, and I agree with you in terms of energy efficiency thrives when various stakeholders are committed. You may have a whole lot of tools, but if there is no commitment, you may never achieve what you are intending to. Hence, in my presentation, I emphasized on the point of engaging with all stakeholders. And even when we look at the implementation, the focus was on the whole value chain. And like taking the committee members back in terms of what has been done, you would note that for sure it's not only the Department of Energy that is implementing programs. There is a whole lot of programs even within the IBM section for ESCOM. There was a campaign in terms of the 49M. The 49M was launched between government and ESCOM. It wasn't only residing within ESCOM as an isolation. There was like an effort from all the key stakeholders. And like in terms of mobilizing, I would request that all of us, we look at it as a joint effort rather than like the Department of Energy. Because even when we're rolling up some of the programs, it's not within the Department of Energy only where things are happening. Like if you were to look at the rollout of even the solar water heating program, that is not only within the department. It's done jointly with the state-owned entity, ESCOM. So we need to look at those programs in terms of how they are rolled up, because that's part of the institutional alignment. And like I also put an emphasis in terms of the effort or the valuable inputs that were given by private sector. The very same regulations that we have just promulgated, the credits cannot at all go to the Department of Energy. There was a committee that was set up that includes government, that includes private sector. Members of this were part of technical dealing with the practical nature of implementing the regulations. What happened during the what happened during the process of developing the regulations? They were issued for public comment. The comments were synthesized until to the point where we were locked up in rooms in terms of looking at some of the issues when it comes to the competitiveness of implementing the regulations. Until we all agreed in terms of, yes, this is implementable. Canadi was part of implementing those regulations. SARS in terms of making sure that because we linked the regulations are based on Income Tax Act. So SARS could not have not been there on the basis that the companies would only be able to claim their taxes, their rebates or claim through the SARS system. Hence it was a collective effort to get to releasing the regulations. And maybe I should link this to the point that the chair raised in terms of in hope we are not only focusing on energy intensive user groups. The regulators, as they stand, they are not focusing on a big category or the energy intensive users. It's all categories who would be able to claim as long as you are able to prove that you have made savings. And if we were to look at the principle of or the objective of 49M, we're saying all South Africans, wherever you are, even in your individual nature, you should be able to be more energy efficient. And that's the principle that we're saying, even in the regulation, to say all companies, whether big, whether small, you should be able to prove that you have implemented energy efficiency measures and this is how you have saved. And like that would be looking at a private sector across the board. And the chair wanted to know what role does the Energy Efficiency Leadership Network play on the Section 10A? As I have just said, the credit on the development or the promulgation on Section 10A regulations cannot go to the Department of Energy. Only it's a collective deliverable. Hence, even when it was released, it even indicated that the development and promulgation is by the Minister of Finance in consultation with Energy and Trade and Industry. Through the leadership network, there are what we call reference groups. Those reference groups are focusing on monitoring the sectors as they are. And the leadership network is also part of the reference group that we're talking about. All these energy efficiency programs are presented in those platforms for input. So, hence I want to emphasize the point of making sure that all stakeholders are part of what we are doing, including even members of the public. The chair also raised the issue around are we promoting the regulations through only workshops? The answer to that is no. The first phase at the moment is planned around the workshops that we are driving, but we're also piggybacking on other conferences and seminars that we are part of. So the presentations or the creation of awareness would not only be focusing on workshops. We will also use the conference platforms in intensifying the understanding around the implementation of the regulations. And also there was a point in terms of our focus on the National Development Plan. On that, the chair would recall that we said these are the things that were based on the comments that were received. And it wasn't only the only channel in terms of revising the strategy. We just grouped the things based on those comments, but we also looked at other work that is in progress. You would know that I indicated that as part of revising or reviewing the strategy, we also took into account other work that is in progress. Like one, starting from the 2011, we also engaged on the carbon tax discussion policy documents, processes. We also looked at the climate change response policy process. We also looked at from the trade and industry in terms of the standards, including the National Development Plan. But in terms of the comments that were received, most were taking us towards alignment with the National Development Plan. And maybe we should also acknowledge the point that the strategy or the request for public comments was done at the time when the National Development Plan was still in progress, more like engaging with the rest of the country. But like that took into account even other pieces of work that were in progress. And there was a question in terms of the strategy is ending in 2050. In line with the Energy Efficiency Action Plan is pointing at the short period of the 3-year plan, and what about the strategy? In terms of the National Energy Action Plan, we started at focusing at the things that we are recommending should be done before the period lapse, and also setting the scene in terms of the new target for post 15. I have indicated that we did not revise the set target on the basis that we did not want to shift the goalposts before we confirm what Honorable Slaoui is saying in terms of what has been done in SL since 2005. And like the energy efficiency monitoring plan that I'm talking about, that we did a pilot, we should come back and report to the committee in terms of actually as per those targets linked to the program that have been rolled out, what percentage has been achieved in each of the sub-sector targets, including the overall target of 10% target. So yes, for now it's a short term looking at the time that is left, but confirming where we're coming from and also setting the scene into the medium term or the new targets that we would be saying, based on our experience of 10 years, this is what has been done, this is where we are, and this is what is being proposed for the future. Okay, and there was also a question in terms of what about other sectors, what about like government or residential, what is happening in the municipality? In terms of the work that we are doing, the focus is not only on one sector, it's across the sector. let me just give one example. Like, as I said, maybe we just looked at the topic without necessarily thinking that we would want information on the actual programs that have been rolled out. Within the residential sector, there is a survey that was conducted. And, like, I'll link this question with the question on SALGA. The role of SALGA in this monitoring system was to ensure that the policy is translated into tangible deliverables by linking the municipal systems into the monitoring system. Because as we sit at the national office, we should be able to say at local government level, this is what is happening within the municipality. So the system that we would be presenting in detail to the committee would be talking to the policy now translating into local government. We had 8 municipalities that were used as pilots in terms of making sure that as we coming out to implement or upscaling, then we would be implementing something that the system that has been tested across. And then two, within the residential sector, there is work at the moment that is being done in terms of the standards and appliance labeling program, where we're looking at 12 household appliances, your ovens, your table dryers, washing machines, electric motors, like all this. Work is the progress. So had we knew that we also have to report on those programs, the presentation, maybe we should have taken advantage that the agenda was revised and given a very detailed presentation by also reporting on each of the programs and how each program has contributed to the attainment of the targets as they are, which also takes us back to the question that Honorable Slau is raising in terms of what would you tell a member of the public? At the moment, we have just promulgated the regulations for industry. What about us at home? So the process of standards and appliance labeling is trying to also, one of the major deliverables should be the incentive within the residential sector. Like, for example, we looked at various best international best practices. Where moving away from inefficient household appliances towards more efficient ones. What incentives should be in place to encourage people to move away from inefficient compliances to, I mean, inefficient appliances to the ones that are efficient? Where is the progress, and we will come and present on that. And also, there have been, like, a lot in terms of campaigns, hence I will keep on saying energy efficiency should not be looked at from one perspective. And, like, the work that, for example, ESCOM is also rolling out, if you were to look at the allocation, let me say for the IGM, with respect to the programs that are there within the MYPD process, the department is part of the MYPD process, and when an allocation is done, it's not done only for the sake of ESCOM, but for a country, ESCOM being the implementing agent. Then the chair also wanted affirmation on the preparedness of the DOE on the implementation of the strategy. We also alluded to the fragmentation on institutional arrangements. Yes, we acknowledge that where we're coming from, or the way it's been done in most cases, it was fragmented, but like now we have changed the truth. We are moving away from that fragmentation. The direct engagement is specifically to address the working in silos approach. Hence, the recent example, the tax incentive cannot be implemented by national treasury only. It cannot be implemented by trading industries only. The value chain has to be an approach. So hence, even when finance will be the main implementing agent, but the cutoff point in terms of implementing that, the end user would be smiling from the start point. When you submit, as a company, when you're submitting your tax return, you would be submitting the tax return, but with a certification from Panedi to say, yes, Mukhadi Incorporation, as the company has saved so much kilowatts, when I get to the South African Revenue Services, then I get 45 cents for a kilowatt that I would have saved. So it shows that working in silos is not the approach to go. We have to work as a collective. Hence, each one of us is taking that specific role. And the chair would know that the approach that we have even taken in launching the very same regulations, they were launched at the back of the launch of energy efficiency in private sector. That program is led by the NBI, that is a collective effort in seeing it through on the basis of that donor fund. There is an argument in terms of how it should unfold, because we're looking at it, we are policy developers, but the implementation speaks somewhere else. So for you to be able to monitor what is happening at implementation level, you need to understand the value chain as it stands. And whilst I'm still on that point, in terms of fragmentation, one of the things that we are deliberating now, and we have done so extensively, particularly with private sector through VUSA, is, like, for example, data collection. In terms of the carbon footprint, you would know that in terms of implementing the National Climate Change Response Policy, there would be a lot of data that is required in terms of confirming how we're reducing our GHG emissions, including other gases. And like one of like the recommendations that we would be implementing soon is to make sure that the data as it gets collected, whether through the energy efficiency monitoring system based on the mandatory data regulations, we share the same data or the data that would be required for the climate change response policy in place of them submitting to various departments. So that is at an advanced stage. And like most of the things are done through the reference group, which is represented by most of the government departments, be it public works, trade and industry, national treasury, ourselves, like all those who are within the same space. So the fragmentation issue is receiving attention, and can confidently assure you, Chairperson, that we are working on coordinating and making sure that the energy efficiency is not all over. And Sanev is also the key support in terms of making sure that the champions energy efficiency.
Sanedi is already part of the management.
Yes.
Yeah. I just hope you appreciate my emphasis
sort
of on institutions, agencies, and even departments that really are not essentially part of the management.
Yes.
Maybe just before that, I wanted to allude to the fact that I know that this department has achieved quite a lot. That the percentage of electrified houses when we came in 94 compared to the percentage of electrified houses now is shocking. We've done quite a lot. We talk about maybe 15-20% before 1994 and 85% now. That kind of information and many other information, that this efficiency we are talking about, we are talking efficiency of electricity that has been supplied, that is there. We are able to balance the demand and supply despite the challenges of growth of society. That information, Chairperson, is important. It's needed to be summarized from across the different branches of the department and be brought to light so that as we end the term and we say bye-bye to this term, not knowing if we're coming back or not, but we are able to say this is what we did when we were members of parliament at the time. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
As we stand up, if you need a report, I've already alluded to the committee secretary that he should start putting a few elements of the legal report
as a stand-up, reduction of input costs, improvement of competitiveness, job retention, improvement of improved health. I think those are actually the things you really would like to have as the result of the impact of improved energy efficiency in various forms, you know. It's not everything, but I'm very grateful. But if you say, I had written in my list of things that the question was, what has been achieved? But I never asked that. You did. Okay. And thanks very much for that. No, thanks in any case for your valuable input.
Should I continue?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. While we're still on the fragmentation, alluding to the commitment that government made in leading energy efficiency, and you have seen that we indicated that we just got 23 million specifically to focus on the government or public building sector. One of the things that government committed to is to lead by example. Let me just give an example with respect to the preparedness of the department within the public building phase. Within the pilot phase, one of the things that the department did was to start with the building that we are occupying. Within the building, we just took a sample on the basis of available resources. We started putting energy efficiency measures in some of the floors, the two floors for the current building. The first and second floor, we used the first floor as our experiment and the second floor as a control to the pilot phase. We installed the motion sensors, like all several energy efficiency measures in one floor, just to see how it would reduce the cost and how would that translate into the carbon footprint. And I can indicate to you that chairperson, what we have seen in terms of that pilot phase, it has indicated to us a 30% reduction with respect to energy consumption, which when you're translating that into the monetary aspect, now it means there is less money in terms of the electricity bill. As like one of the recommendations was, we need to make sure that the pilot phase take the whole building, and now when we move into other buildings, we're putting a business case together so that we can come back to for a recommendation or a cabinet decision to say all government buildings either being leased or owned should follow this guideline, because we can prove that it's working and it has worked during the phase that we would have completed the pilot phase. And same when we went to the municipal side as well, the pilot phase included even municipal buildings. And like that has shown to be working, we are now increasing the number from 40 buildings to 200 buildings. And we have to come back to in comparing what came out of that, the 200 buildings. And like the reason why we are doing this, it would be very difficult to justify the numbers if we are not tested there, because scientifically you need to justify that there has been research, except what we're reading is from other countries, actually what is it that we are at, and that's what exactly what we are doing. And in terms of like what is happening in other sectors, I've already indicated programs that are within municipal level which are touching on the residential sector. And the commercial side as well, the Green Building Council is part of the reference group that we are talking about. And we, at the moment, looking at measures that should be implemented within the pilot phase to confirm the nature of the savings that South Africa could make. Because if in one building, in one floor, we are able to reduce 30%, it shows how massive it could be if all government or public buildings either leased or either owned were following the same approach or even more than what we have put together. Because at times we should also take note that when a building is old, it's not the same as if you're building from scratch and putting all the measures in place as you build. So there are limitations when you renovating an old building on certain measures that may not be possible, but if you have put that into your building process, then it becomes even easier. And while I'm even there, you would recall that there was an amendment process in terms of the building codes and regulations. These are some of the legislations that we are talking about that have been passed in the process that we have taken, that we have to consolidate all of them and say, these are the legislative frameworks that we are talking about. So it's not only one sector. The role of SALGA, I think I touched on it when I even indicated that eight municipalities are part of the program in terms of the energy efficiency monitoring process. And then one thing that has been indicated when I spoke about private sector is the development of the regulations on energy management plans. We do invest together with private sector. It's not only within our space, but they have given us significant inputs, and the regulations are, that would be, we are at an advanced stage, let me just put it that way. And the says that I should explain some big words, functional context appropriate system on what it is. Basically what I was trying to say here is the action plan is trying to come up with the actions that would be implementable in the context of our situation. Like, for example, in some of the municipalities, they don't even have systems in place in terms of tracking their consumption within their own buildings. And municipalities own a lot of buildings. And if we have registers, we have got systems in terms of how to track all the energy efficiency measures, there is a lot that could be saved. So functional is more practical within the context of taking into consideration some of the challenges that are there. In some instances, it's not only about systems, we've got issues with respect to capacity within municipalities. In some municipalities, you don't even have, like when you look at the metros, comparing them with the lower category, metros are well equipped. In most instances, you will find a link between the electricity section, the climate change section, but as you move to the lower level, some of the municipalities don't even have climate change sections. You don't have, you have one person looking at the environment, but not even linked to the electricity section. So those are the issues that the system also looks at in terms of closing the gaps that are there. So that when you have a person who is working from the technical side, it's also linked to though the field that is in finance in terms of looking at your billing system, which has to be linked to the consumption area. In most cases, there is disintegration or there is no collective effort, so to put it. Like as I said, we have got programs like street and traffic lighting which have been rolled out in municipalities, and those are funded from a fiscal allocation through the Division of Revenue Act. And like, this is one practical example. You would find a person in finance not knowing exactly what is happening on the ground in terms of what I'm transferring as payment of service providers, does it link with what is actually delivered on site? So people who are in the technical section, electricity section, would call out the program in terms of being in a position to tell, we have installed so many street lights, or we have retrofitted so many traffic points or street lighting without necessarily linking that to the monetary aspect in terms of how does it impact positively when it comes to the climate change on the carbon footprint. So you need to make sure that those who are within the environmental section are linked to those who are rolling, the engineers who are within the electricity section who are on site installing, and those who are in finance. The person who is in the environmental section should say, with respect to this program on street and traffic lighting, this is how the carbon footprint is being. The one who is in the electricity side should be saying, this is the energy that has been saved, and this is how it impacts on the environment. The one who is in finance should be saying, so much has been saved due to the installation. So, as it stands, you find the person in the environment not even knowing what the carbon footprint linked to the very same program is all about. The one who is in finance, they are focused on procurement of services, appointment of service providers, paying the invoices without necessarily translating it into other national key objectives, where one would say the country has committed to reduce the emissions by 34% by 2020, 42% by 2025. As a municipality, how do we contribute? They have got programs that are directly contributing towards that national target, but like we cannot make a link between their own programs, which have direct link in terms of the national commitment. So when it comes to the functional context appropriate system, that's what exactly I was trying to say, the practical nature and the linkage between how each one of us contributes to one national target. And the chair requested that I also touch on the decomposition within the methodology. And you indicated that you know decomposition biologically, but in terms of the meaning as presented in the, as in a presentation, we're not sure if it's the same. Basically, what is being indicated here is more or less, let me say, the ultimate definition is the same in biology, where you disaggregate it. Basically, you get data, you synthesize it until it gets to translating into the target. Because when you get data, you're looking at a whole lot of aspects, but you need to say, this is how it gets me to, in disaggregating it or synthesizing it to the point where you say, this is how the data got to 1% or 10% of energy savings. So you get it at a high level. As you disaggregate it, then that's the decomposition part that we're talking about. So the definition is the same. The difference is just decomposition in terms of the biological nature and here in terms of the data collection and analysis. I'm trying to check if I have on. I think I touched on Honorable Flaou's issues to say in the next presentation, it is that we have that we didn't cover all the things that you wanted us to. We'll bring information also on how the strategy links to the program and indicating exactly where we are in stage of talking about documents moving from one point to the other. Chair, please indicate if I have touched on the questions that we have raised, all of them. In case I have missed some, then I will answer that. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Memo. Thanks so much, I must say, one, with the philosophical approach is to introduce the journey. By the time stage, journey must share the milestone. We need to see the strategy coming out. The only thing I haven't been seeing here, you have not adjudicated whether the current strategy will go for another 10 years. Just before I leave.
Okay, as I said, Chair, I said in terms of the target, the targets were left as they are on the basis that we did not want to be seen as shifting the goalposts before we confirm whether the targets were achieved or not. And like, when we come to report, we would be putting recommendations forward. Remember, in terms of the post-2015 targets, there would be public consultation with all the stakeholders in terms of whether should we still go for 10 years, should we still go for 5 years, it wouldn't be something that we will be creating. The revised document is based on like what is left. First, we need to confirm whether the set targets have been achieved or not, and if what we haven't achieved, what were the challenges, the corrective measures proposed in terms of closing the gap. In terms of once everything is in place, the terms that we're looking at, should we be looking at another 10 years, or should we be aligning the strategy to the 2030 vision as seen with other documents, like for example the IRP, the National Development Plan, like other key documents in the country that are looking at taking the vision of the country to 2030 or 2050. At the moment within the integrated energy plan, we're already looking at 2050. So is this something that within the strategy we should also be looking at 2050 or 2030? Those are the key things or the key thematic areas that need to be in terms of looking at what would have been achieved. So we haven't preempted in terms of the next term. It's still part of the consultation that would be dealing with the development of the 2050. But like in terms of the action plan, it will clearly indicate on what are the things that we will be dealing with within this short period, including confirming what we have done.
Now you're talking. Get quite clear and interesting. You know, the cloud has triggered a lot of things. Because one of the things that comes in mind, you may not necessarily answer it now, that with the energy efficient monitoring system, capture the impact assessment working on, or is it something that will be captured elsewhere? Of course, that triggers one other thing that what constitutes this energy efficiency strategy? You know, is it confined to the issues that you are raising here? If yes, where would you pick up all the other things that you'd like to see that it results improving competitiveness, that something to cost, you know, and all of that? Maybe one of the things is coming up once again, that definition of energy efficiency. How comprehensive should it be? I sit here and listen and see there's a lot of emphasis on electricity. And I see the rest say here, all about the hydrocarbon. They too can be improved in terms of efficient utilization. Do you include retrofitting? That's another area which creates a lot of jobs, you know, needs a lot of policy review and a whole lot of other things, you know. Whether it sits here or elsewhere, you know, what would you say about manufacturing? Because any efficiency invites equipment, machinery, this and that. Probably most of it are still manufactured outside the country. You know, how do you localize that? I'm throwing things, not necessarily that if you feel that it's the department that they may be outside the ambit of the energy efficiency strategy, well and good, but my contention, which I'm sure other members would agree,
where and how are they located, and linked to the energy efficiency strategy. Because you said something very good, that it's lamentable for an official in National Treasury to diligently implement second draft fee without having an understanding of the broader environment and how to link it to each other. Same is here. You know, I went to a company and found that they already have energy efficiency managers, engineers, that sort of thing. How does this strategy link and promote that? You actually have to fight proactive environment. How does? How do they promote that? See? And I think, of course, that's managed by the presence of NASA. I don't have to mention how is NASA going to frown upon us? Or how are we going to make NASA smile? I think also that links to the institutional arrangements, you know, that I was asking. Because once this becomes complex, the question is, who is this driving seat? Who is this champion seat? You know, the infrastructure build plan is very, very, is a very good example. Of course, we've got agencies, but each and every one of them is either driven by a specific department or co-driven to departments. However, there is a whole lot of other agencies and departments that go into that space, isn't it? But only one or two that seems to be pulling the others. I don't say that would be the situation, but how I wish you could have a sense of that. Because energy efficiency, as part of resource efficiency generally, you know, is bound to trigger all the things. I would like to see, you know, how many jobs are retained for the things. You know, you listen to that as well when you go to the committee, how companies lament about all the issues of energy, this and that, lamenting that co-generation has not been supported by government, and they would like that to be done so that they can retain jobs, so they can create. There's a lot of engagement and collaboration. I'm rambling on things. It was round up. You know,
okay. I wanted to respond to what you just saying, Chair, that maybe we should also acknowledge that looking at the agenda, it was just saying energy efficiency strategy without pointers, and we didn't include the programs in the presentation. You just spoke about the impact that Red Lau was talking about. Surely there is, we could report in terms of the socio-economic impact of the energy efficiency with respect to job creation. And like, that would be linked to the programs that we have implemented. Like, for example, you spoke about manufacturing. And with respect to manufacturing, yes, it takes cognizance of that. Like, now, let me just give a recent example. You know, the road we have traveled on the implementation of the solar water heating program. When we started, mostly it depended on imports. But like now, the country has moved ahead very quick because there were shortfalls with respect to the imports. Poor systems that were imported and that impacted negatively when it comes to the implementation, which results in dysfunctional fever. And what happened, the Department of Trade and Industry conducted an extensive or intensive study on designation of some of the components with respect to localization. And that localization, that's what we're focusing on. That was approved and an instruction note was issued by National Treasury last year, which was with effect of the 5th of August. And that instruction note is complementing the outcomes of the study in terms of meeting 70% threshold on the solar geysers. And the manufacturers are now expected to meet 30% local content when it comes to the designated components like collectors and tanks. And like we have moved ahead in terms of testing the market, in terms of the capability within the country, in terms of meeting that threshold. That's the process that we are now. But in terms of job creation, definitely all these programs have created jobs. And like if we would have packaged it, maybe we need a day or two so that we can report on all the programs in terms of how each one of them has generated jobs along across the value chain. So we have taken note of that and like we will present. And like as I said, on the work around the National Energy Efficiency Strategy, it cannot be that Department of Energy will take the credit alone. It's a collective effort. Let me also talk about the, like for example, the transport sector. There is a target that has been set as 9% for the transport sector. I hope you are aware that like trade and industry released the automotive strategy with respect to the electric vehicles. And like there is a lot of work that has been done in putting, like starting working towards putting structures together. And like with energy efficiency in particular, trade and industry has like incentives for the manufacturing sector, specifically for those who are manufacturing energy efficient equipment. And to the range of like, for example, anything between 20 to 200 million. The incentives are already there. So there is job creation in terms of the value chain. In terms of, like, you can't look at one spot. We looked at the whole value chain across the board.
I suppose what we need to do then, or whoever else to do that in future, is that getting a briefing shouldn't be just coming from Department of Energy only. We should persuade quite a range of partners to join you so that you can have a comprehensive picture of what energy efficiency is, what programs they have and to putting into place, and what the role of other partners and agencies are. And on that basis, that could be quite helpful. At this
stage
in time, let me thank the department for...
Okay, maybe just before you close, there is another important aspect on the issue that you just raised on the positive impact. Like I've alluded on the residential sector with specific to standards and appliance labeling program. That program is not only the Department of Energy that is part of it. The retail sector is part of it on the shelf appliances that we're talking about. South African Bureau of Standards is already expanding the labs in terms of testing. So that has a link in terms of the manufacturing sector. The national regulations compulsory standards is part of the program as well. National treasury is part of the program as well. So you look, when you look at the value chain, you can see that the residential sector until the end user, where you go to game or Dior and buy a tumble dryer, there would be like a lot of people who have participated. And like on it, it's not only SAP. The other private labs that are testing on compliance or the manufacturing side of these appliances are part of the program, including the Consumer Council, which is part of the program as well. So these are the programs that we need to be reporting on in terms of each one of them. So that was just one program that I thought I should share information in terms of, like when you're expanding the lab, that is part of job creation, and like also looking at the expansion of the sector itself on the retail side, including manufacturing of the very same equipment.
Yeah. And obviously, or other issues included as well. Well, one way to look at also even the previous revelations, I suppose
one of the things that we'll be quite interested in, if you are still going to speak to it, is the energy management plan, which seems to be an area that each company will have to be having, probably the peak energy users. I'm trying to raise the issue of fragmentation because it's a big concern to us. And the fragmentation is obviously a must to be linked with the institutional arrangement. It may not be that clear and easy to articulate institutional arrangement now. Fair enough, but so that you have a sense that it's an expectation from the side that that be handled and articulated in the most effective way so that there is efficiency, even in implementing and rolling out the energy efficiency strategy and its plan. Because that of course could be inefficiently rolled out if it's not. If fragmentation is not addressed and if the institutional arrangements are not improved, it's good to have many players, but it's good to have a clear champion as well. And how the various players collaborate in the area. I know, for example, ESCOM would like to see as many players as possible to strengthen its 9M campaign, as an example. But yes, there's a whole host of others. We've been to CSIR to a number of companies which were doing their best to improve energy efficiency. And they were talking quite confidently about how they've been able to retain jobs and life and the process of everything. Even if it was just a small number of extra jobs created. But for now, let me thank the department, which obviously one awareness being highlighted that we can sense that even if you have not been able to share with us the impact of the implementation of the strategy for 2005, of course, taking into account the slowness in the development of a number of the enabling tools, that there are some of the obvious programs in front of us, which we know have had their impact, you know, in various forms, because it's not just about job creation, but also the health of people when they move from one form of energy provisioning to another one, to a better and a cleaner one, for that matter, and also the increase, you know, competitiveness, creating and strengthening confidence within the country, you know, it's one of the most important things. For now, thank you very much. And till we meet, I don't know when we meet again, because we missed the climate change activity last year. But obviously, we'll be in touch. Thank you very much, Department.
What's your name? I'm